What does Jesus look like? If you have seen the same movies that I've seen and the same pictures that I've seen, very calm, right? Almost emotionless, very serene. But we're reading a book for Lent this year that talks about the different ways that we can relate to Jesus. And Reverend Max Lucado talked about those pictures in this week's reading. And we've got some of them even here. And if you walk through the hallways of the church, you can find them. Jesus is always straight face, very calm and peaceful, which is needed in certain situations. But what about when you need a laugh? Those pictures are probably not going to help you very much. I have a picture. If you've been in my office, this is a picture that this is my Jesus. And because we think that this guy had a lot of followers, right? He got a lot of people with just a few words to say, yes, I'll follow you. I'll leave my job. I'll leave my house. I'll leave my wife and kids to come follow you. He must have been a pretty enjoyable guy, right? Because who would leave all that behind for a boring person? You can imagine that as the disciples spent hours and days and weeks and months and years with him, that they would have seen this a lot. They would have seen a Jesus that enjoys life, that acknowledges that life is a gift, that in the appropriate times would be peaceful and solemn and calm. But there is also an appropriate time for a good laugh. Can we imagine a Jesus that fits all of those characteristics that we talked about before? Trustworthiness and loyalty, kindness, someone who is supportive, and someone that we like to laugh with. Because those tend to be the friends that we hang around with the most, right? The people who make us feel good, the people who lift our spirits, the people who are just fun to be around. Certainly, Jesus is all of those things. But when we need someone who fills all those things, how often do we turn to Jesus first? Can we imagine a Jesus not with a stern and straight-faced, but a Jesus with a huge smile, laughing and even telling a joke? Jesus, as we find out at Christmas time, is Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel doesn't mean God over us. It is God with us as one of us. Jesus came so that God could be with us as a friend, not as one who controls, not as one who condemns, not as one who judges, but as one who saves, one who loves. I believe Jesus must have been a joy to be around. I imagine a Jesus with a smile that welcomes you. You know how some people can just draw you closer to themselves with just their smile? I can imagine Jesus being that kind of person. He had the words and the smile. And when you put the two together, you change the world. I imagine Jesus smiling often. And not just while he was here on earth. I believe that Jesus still smiles today. So what do we think it is that makes Jesus smile today? Certainly, Jesus smiles when someone picks up the Bible and reads it. Jesus definitely smiles when someone teaches another person what they read in the Bible and teaches them about their own personal faith. I believe Jesus smiles every time we are kind to one another and show love to one another. And I know for sure that Jesus was smiling today as Paisley was baptized into this community of faith. How could it not put a smile on his face to know that 2,000 years after his death, we're still here? After all the things that the church has been through, that the world has been through, we're still here. 2,000 years later, still following his example, still reading his word, still talking about him, still baptizing people the way that he told us to, the way that he did first. That would have to put a smile on his face. During his time on earth, Jesus behaved like a best friend to everyone. And that got him into trouble at times, because he acted like a friend to some who they said he shouldn't be acting very friendly to. But he didn't care. He became to be a friend to everybody. Some of them became his disciples. Some of them went on to write gospels that are now in the New Testament. He ate with them. He spent time with them. He healed them. He listened to them. He taught them. He was patient with them. He knew them by name. And then he saved them. All of them. It is one thing to know that Jesus is your friend. But it's a whole other level of faith to realize that Jesus is the friend of your enemy too. That Jesus is that guy's friend. And to be okay with that. And that is where Matthew's own personal story enters into this time and place. Matthew was a tax collector. Yeah, like, he worked for the IRS, right? Except the IRS in those days was not like, you just mail your check in and you fill out your form and everything is formula-based. These tax collectors would come to town and determine on their own how much you owe. And very often they would give Rome what Rome wants and keep the rest for themselves. And everybody knew that. So, of course, nobody liked the tax collectors. Matthew was one of them. One of the untrusted. One of those who people would kind of glare at with an unfriendly eye. They had the power to bankrupt you. They didn't care. But Matthew was a tax collector, but also a future gospel writer. While everyone else hated him, Jesus approached him and wanted to be his friend. In the gospel lesson, we heard about the night immediately after that day when Jesus said, get all of your coworkers, bring all of your friends. I'm going to have dinner with you. Jesus sitting around a table with nothing but tax collectors. Imagine what they were saying on the other side of those doors. Jesus eats with sinners. Well, yes, he does. And if Jesus will eat with tax collectors, he'll eat with me. He'll eat with you. If Jesus eats with tax collectors, he'll eat with anybody. Not just that one tax collector. He didn't just have dinner with Matthew. He said, bring all of your coworkers. Because Jesus would be a friend to anyone who wanted to be friends. And he still does today. Now, the thing about friendship is that it's a two-way street. Friendships that just go one way don't work very well. If we expect Jesus to be our friend, and if we claim Jesus as our friend, that means that we've got to be his friend too. That means we've got our end of the bargain to live up to. That means we've got a job. We've got responsibilities to him. If we expect Jesus to be all those things that we mentioned, trustworthy and loyal, supportive, kind and loving, we have to be trustworthy and loyal and supportive and kind to him. And doing that means loving all the people that he loves, which is everyone, no matter what their job is, no matter where they've come from, no matter what they may have done in the past, Jesus loved them. And to love the people that he loves means loving him. It means leaving out the promises that we made at our own baptisms and remade right here this morning at Paisley's baptism. It means honoring all those baptismal vows that we took. Like a friend, Jesus knows your name. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to have dinner with you. Will you remember him in every moment? Will you leave a space at your dinner table for him? My very first district superintendent, Reverend Bobby Ramback in the Raritan Valley District, she had a very interesting office. First of all, you would sit at her desk, and there was an empty chair next to you. That was for Jesus, so that no matter what, there was always a place for him. Because some difficult conversations happened in that room, Jesus always had a place at her desk. And then you would stand up from your chair, and there was a chandelier right over your chair with doves on it. And you would hit your head on the dangling doves so that as you left her office, you literally got smacked in the head by the Spirit. Will you spend time with Jesus? Will you leave that empty chair at your table, at your desk, in your bedroom, in your living room? Will you leave an empty space for Jesus? To be good friends, this promise has to be kept on both sides. It's the same thing with your friends at school or at work or in the neighborhood. You expect that they're going to keep their half of the deal, and they expect that you're going to keep your half. The same is true with Jesus. If we expect Jesus to keep up his end of the bargain, we've got to keep up ours. Lord, we want to be your friends. Help us to make room for you. Physical space, but also room for you in our hearts. Help us also, Lord, to make room in our hearts to love all the people that you love. Because if they are loved and important to you, then they deserve our love and importance as well. God, we pray for these things in your holy name. Amen.